Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning, Pacific Northwest and Portland, Oregon. Welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to pick up the phone, ask that question you've been keeping you up at night, and give us a call. And the numbers we have is 503-417-9595. Toll-free, 877-733-1011. And today, our show is going to be a little bit about investing, but a lot about investing in your community. Because I have a friend of mine who's been a friend of mine for, I want to say, almost 40 years, over 40 years. And he's currently running for Multnomah County Commissioner, District Number 2, and that's Mr. Bruce Bussard. And Bruce, welcome to Investing Simplified.
Thank you, Chuck, and simplify to those jarheads out there.
Yeah. Well, Bruce and I both are members of the Marine Corps, and simplify, baby. And listen, for all you vets out there, I got to tell you, Bruce is a guy that is one of these guys that if you had to be in a foxhole, the guy I want next to me is Bruce Bussard. Because if Bruce Bussard tells you he's going to do something, by gosh, he does it. And that's the kind of guy you want. And Bruce has got an organization, and all my listeners know, we are very pro-military, very pro-veterans. We've had people from Wounded Warriors on. We've had different veterans groups. We've had different charities in the local area. And, you know, there's a lot of charities. There's a lot of organizations. I'm just going to give a real good plug here for Bruce's organization. Bruce, tell us about your No Veteran Left Behind Oregon. Exactly what is that?
Chuck, in all due respect, you know, I've been around town for quite some time. As you know, I was a Marine recruiter when I came here to Portland, Oregon.
I heard you were here when Columbus came.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was the aide. but yes, I when I came to Portland, Oregon, I was a Marine recruiter. But during the years, I've done a number of things. But the bottom line is that with reference to what I'm doing now as far as the vet organization, I got No Veterans Left Behind Oregon aspect of it. I created, and by the way, my wife is she's the president. I'm just the executive director. I work for her. You know, I got to make sure I align
myself. Well, she's got the brains and the look, so that's the right one to have there.
You got to react to the Me Too piece, right?
Yeah.
Keep it straight.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that, in all due respect, the seriousness of this particular program is that often you hear a number of folks when we came out with IE Thanks for Serving and by IE trying to help the vets and whatever, many organizations all of a sudden presented themselves, right? But then we had the VA, okay? You got me? So I said to myself, well, gee whiz, I had visited, because I also do a show called Oregon Voters Digest, and I was interested in all these other organizations. I was interviewing a lot of these folks. In some cases, I was having some questions in terms of whether or not, in fact, they were really doing the job. You got me? And so I came up with this idea, in all due respect. I said, look, we need an organization that can vet, if you will. We need to vet those organizations outside of the VA. You got me? And so the whole goal is that you go in, you check these people out to see whether or not they're doing services or duplicating services that the VA is already doing. So my goal is, and basically is to say in so many words, at some point in time, we've got one roof. It's called the VA. I want to vet these organizations that are outside the organization and put it all under one roof. That's the legitimacy of it all. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
The vetting. I'm vetting. That's basically what I'm doing. I'm vetting these organizations and making sure that vets are, surely, because the public is saying, hey, look, thanks for serving when they see me. I have my jacket on, my Marine Corps jacket on. They come up, shake your hand, and this, that, and the other. And they really want to help. You know, we don't want to get into another homeless kind of a situation with the VA. And that's a very important piece. We're paying a lot of money for the VA aspect of it, but at the same time, we got folks that are out there that are really not legitimate, and I want to make sure we check them out.
Well, you know, you and I have been talking about this subject for many, many years.
Yes, very much so.
And I got to tell you, Bruce, I'm real happy to see what you're doing and seeing your involvement in it. But, you know, your organization, how long has it been going?
Well, in all due respect, about a year and a half now.
Okay.
But I've been actually doing this kind of thing over every bit of about maybe 4 or 5 years now.
I was going to say, you've been doing it for a long time.
Oh, very much so, besides the recruiting part.
Well, I kind of want to get into your political campaign here a little bit, too, because people know that I'm a little bit on the conservative side. and I think it's great that you are running for Multnomah County Commissioner District 2. And just for the sake of radio here, I want to openly invite any of Bruce's opponents, if you'd like to come on and share an hour with Bruce and I, I'll be a moderator, and I'll be a fair basis of moderator, because, you know, that's what we'll do. But if you want to come on and debate Bruce on some points, we're more than happy to welcome you, and just contact my office at 503-253-3000, and we'll schedule a Saturday morning, have you come in, and Bruce will come in, and you can come in, and we can have a little discussion about running for county commissioner, or why you'd be a better commissioner, or why Bruce would be a better commissioner. Bruce, why would you be a better commissioner?
Well, first off, I'll be the only male sitting on the county for a change. You know, it's an all-women kind of a situation. I'm not trying to be anti-women, whatever, but the bottom line, I'd be the only male, if you will. I'd be the only former military kind of a person. I'd be a military person. I'd be the only senior citizen on that in that situation. And you know, and if you want to pick up the other minority deal, I can do that also, too. I happen to be an African-American. But in all due respect, I'm an American all the way.
Yeah, well, the one thing I've always loved about Bruce when I first met him, you know, meeting Bruce is an experience in itself. But when I met him many, many years ago, the only color we knew was Marine Green.
That's right. Big time.
Big time.
Big time.
I mean, and I really believe one of the things this country's missed, and I've said it on the show numerous times, I believe that every young man and every young woman ought to have the right and the privilege to serve in the military for 2 to 3 years, and then the government can pay for their college on a college plan, but serve your country for 2 or 3 years, get in that uniform, and I'll tell you, the first thing you'll learn is just what I said at the opening of the show. If I was in a foxhole, the guy I want beside me is Bruce Broussard. Color doesn't matter.
No.
It's who is the person. Who is the guy that you depend on that's going to be there to take care of you and back you up? And that's why a guy like Bruce that I know has the fundamental training, has the discipline, and has the track record of doing exactly what he says.
Well, you know, Chuck, in all due respect, you're right. This country, you know, in all due respect, we have a beautiful country here. You got me? But there are some folks that have sort of fallen in the crack, if you will. But we've got this military. We had to draft at one point in time. That was the melting pot. You know, there was no such thing as race. You know, when you join that Marine Corps, you join any military group, and you pick up those pogo sticks in there, buddy, it's all Marine Corps green,
well,
and also Marine Corps red.
The eyes let you know it's Marine green.
Oh, big time.
Period.
Big time.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we are. And in all due respect, I know a lot of the young people are naturally being sort of anti the draft aspect of it, but it's in all due respect, but guess what? That's what we need. I mean, look at it today. These young people are falling in the cracks, getting in the criminal justice system. They are our futures, if you will. You got my point? And if I had anything to do with this country, that issue, we'd reinstitute the draft. I'll be right up front with you.
I've been saying that for years on the radio. I think one of the biggest mistakes we have in this country is not to have a draft.
Yes.
Because with the draft, you earn loyalty to your country. You learn that racism doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I got to tell you, that's one of the things I hear everybody talking about. Well, the military. The military teaches you that. They teach you that you're based on your merit. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with your color or your skin or your name or anything else. You have to perform.
And one flag.
And one flag. Yeah, one flag, yeah. One nation under
one
God.
One nation under God, big
absolutely,
time.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I'm going to have to pay for some bills here a little bit.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to interrupt our little discussion here with Bruce, but I do welcome your phone calls. If you want to ask Bruce a question about his agenda, and or if you want to ask me a question about investing, because we've had a lot of volatility in the market, and I'm going to talk about that in the second half of the show. But we're going to come right back. We got Carl Jepson on the line, our estate planning attorney, and he's going to do Carl's comments. So if you want to ask Carl a question, 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. We're going to be right back with Investing Simplified in your calls and Carl's comments.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepson.
Well, Carl, welcome to Investing Simplified this morning. How you doing?
I am doing okay, Chuck. How about you?
Well, I know you and I were quite busy yesterday.
Yeah, we were.
We had a revolving door going. I want to apologize. I didn't get a chance to yesterday to tell you, but I got kind of late in the morning. We kind of got jammed up, so that kind of backed up the whole flow.
Oh, it all worked out just fine, actually. There was various circumstances that made it just as well to start a little later.
Okay, well, so, good. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was just listening to Bruce there, and I'm certainly in agreement with the value of the military service for our people. I look at my military experience as, you know, one of the most beneficial, you know, things that I've ever done, and I had fun doing it and got a lot of benefits out of it, but I enjoyed it, and I felt like I was doing something that was worthwhile. But mostly you learn how to behave, you learn how to be an adult, you learn how to be a productive citizen, you learn how to, you know, do stuff sometimes when you don't want to do stuff, and that's one of those things that is kind of lacking today, I think. So anyway, I guess I was going to do Carl's comments, wasn't I?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's easy for you to transition back to that JAG officer mentality.
It is. Yeah. Although it's hard to give orders now.
Carl, I understand you were Air Force too, right?
Yes, I was.
Well, I tell you what, when I was up there in Nam, boy, I really loved those C-130s coming over my spot, boy, because I could sleep that night. You got me? When old Puff the Magic Dragon came through. So thanks for serving, by the way.
Well, and you too. And those C-130s were a remarkable, and still are a remarkable,
yes, they are,
thing. Kind of scary, though. I mean, if you're on the receiving end of that, you don't want to know that. I'll tell you, those things are scary, scary gizmos. Anyway, it's great to hear you, and I'm interested in all your behavior and your political aspirations. That's interesting.
Yes,
it's always challenging to uh, to do that, and I don't know that I would have the patience to do it, but I'm not going to try either. So not at this damn time. Anyway, that's that for me though. I'm just sitting here at home and getting ready to hopefully entertain and inform if I can. So anyway, shall I start with Carl's comments today, or shall I wait till later?
No, go for it.
Okay. Well, this is so much fun because, you know, the law uses a lot of fun language sometimes. I want to talk about in terrorem clauses. Doesn't that sound good? That's the real name for this. Most of us call them no contest clauses, and those are basically a clause in a will or a trust that says, if any of the beneficiaries contest this will or trust, that they and their descendants forfeit any inheritance. And that's legal, believe it or not. It's actually provided for in an Oregon statute. And the Latin term in terrorem clause, I think, is just really cool. But anyway, so you can kind of get that. It's intended to be sort of a scare you away from doing it sort of thing, and that's kind of what it does. A lot of times, this comes up because many people are worried, you know, they really, the last thing on earth that they would want to have happen is that their kids are going to fight over or, you know, have big lawsuits or something over, you know, the will or the trust or, you know, the estate. And they really don't want that. And I don't blame them. And nobody really does. I've litigated enough of them to know that they're not very much fun. And oftentimes they leave continuing damage to the people who are involved in them. You know, certainly the relationships get a little bit strained at the very least. So we try to think about mechanisms of how to do this. And this is one of them. And it can be, it can be a very effective deterrent from, you know, to deter the unreasonable or greedy troublemaker from contesting the will. More often than not, though, I mean, I think that there's another flip side to that. And that is that, they can also deter an heir who may have a legitimate dispute about the will or the trust or the estate, but is concerned because, you know, because of the clause, and they don't want to take the chance of losing their inheritance just because they think something's wrong. And usually, when that comes up, it is because you've got the unscrupulous, you know, greedy executor who's kind of abusing the system. And a lot of times the parents don't think that their, you know, son or daughter or whoever is going to ever do anything like that. But sometimes, you know, death of family members brings out sometimes the worst in people and not always. And, you know, I think that generally most of these kinds of contests are, there aren't really that many of them compared to how many people really die. And I think, you know, in my time, I've seen, you know, if even 10% of the people that I've done estate planning work for had will contests, I'd still be in court. I mean, I'd be in court forever. So I'm glad that it's a very few who you know, who are really involved in it. But when they do get involved in it, it's pretty tough. It's really difficult. It's expensive. It's, you know, nerve wracking and causes a lot of anxiety and a lot of trouble. So anyway, a lot of times what they're challenging is the lack of capacity. In other words, does the person know what they're doing? Or another common reason that they would try to challenge the will might be that the unreasonable or the unscrupulous executor or someone has kind of twisted the arm of the person and sort of gained control over them. Basically, you know, they call it undue influence, and it basically means that they've been able to sort of get their way with the person and get them to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do, and in kind of for wrongful purposes. And then sometimes it's just to interpret the language of the trust itself, maybe kind of a contest in a sense too. So those are kind of things that happen, but one of the good things, however, I think, you know, maybe, you know, they're still legal and they're useful in some situations. However, because they're so kind of draconian in their result, meaning that you'll lose your inheritance, you forfeit it, the courts, by case law, strictly construe and interpret these clauses. So in other words, the court if they're called upon to interpret one of these and enforce one of these clauses, they're going to kind of look for reasons to decline to enforce the clause, because they really don't like to cause people to give up their day in court, to, you know, forfeit their you know, inheritance without really good reason, and especially if there's, you know, a good reason that they're complaining, because sometimes things are wrong. Sometimes the executor does do things wrong or whatever. And anyway, so that's what an interim or a no contest clause does. It can be useful. There are some other alternatives that we sometimes should do, I guess, or consider. Number one, of course, is that those of us who are doing the lawyering, if there's the slightest possibility that there's going to be some kind of a contest, I think it's very important for us to carefully pay attention to the details of establishing capacity. In other words, you know, we've got to be very cautious in doing the legal tests and interview with our client in a proper way, so that at least we can say, at least as far as I could tell at the time that we signed the documents, they knew what they were doing. And we do that all the time, but it's, you know, it's really important. The other thing I think that we can do as lawyers to help this is to make sure that we give very clear instructions, you know, leave very clear instructions for the executor and the trustee as far as what's supposed to be distributed and how. And then also, it's useful to give very clear distribution provisions. Usually they're fighting over the distributions anyway. And if the document is clear in that point, then usually that takes away any incentive to fight over much things. Yeah, you know, just because it says, okay, you get this, you get that, and the rest goes here, you know, or whatever. As clear as it can possibly be, you know, no room for dividing it up. One of the worst things you can do is, like, you know, give somebody or give four people a piece of land don't give it to them. You just give it to them outright, and now they have to decide whether they're going to sell it, or they're going to keep it, or they got, you know, what are they going to do with it? And, you know, three out of the four want to do one thing, or two out of the four want to do one thing. So if you've got a real property that you want to give to people, especially if you kind of would like to have them keep it in the family, can be a real challenge, because, you know, you put people at odds because their goals and their circumstances may be different. One thing I've done in that situation that I think is very helpful, I've done what I call a conditional gift of the real property, and the condition is that they can't get their interest in the real property unless they agree to sign a co-tenancy agreement, which says, outlines their rights and responsibilities as far as paying for the, you know, the, and using the property, you know, scheduling who's going to use the beach house, that kind of thing, and when, who's going to pay the bills, you know, the taxes and insurance and all that kind of stuff. Under what circumstances can they sell it? To whom can they sell it? You know, who could buy out, who can't? Those kinds of things already established in an agreement, and they have to agree to it before they get their interest in the property. At least that gives, you know, some kind of a mechanism for them to resolve a dispute, and that's the main thing. Another kind of thing, you can have a mandatory mediation or arbitration clause or both in the documents, and that can be helpful. If they have to show a good faith showing of mandatory mediation before they can get any relief from a court or from an arbitrator, at least they have to sit down with somebody for a while and listen to the other side, and I think that's an important thing. Finally, I have what I call the no squabble clause. And this has no legal effect whatsoever, but it is based on guilt and persuasion. And it basically is the functional equivalent of don't make me come back there. It's one of those kinds of things where it basically says, you know, you guys are good kids and all that stuff, and it's really going to make me angry if you do this, and I'm going to be visiting you from the grave, and you're going to have nightmares, and it's going to be all your fault. And so don't you dare squabble over that stuff. That's kind of one way to do it. It's not quite that easy, and I don't know whether they work, but I don't think I've ever litigated one. And then lastly, if you really want to avoid squabbling, just give it all to charity. That'll do it. So anyway, that's my comment on no contest clauses and squabbling and interim clauses.
Well, Carl, if you want to stay on the air with us.
Yeah.
We're gonna ask some see if we get some callers here, maybe some callers calling in about Bruce and his county commissioner run. And I got to tell you, when you look at Bruce's resume, For all you people out there who hear all these politicians saying what they're going to do and what they promise to do and yada yada yada, and I hate to say this, but it's kind of like some of the financial shows on the radio. It's a blah 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 blah. Going to do the same thing over and over again. Here's the thing. Here's a little comment from Marie Smith, dedication of the Walnut Park Apartments that Bruce Broussard built. She says, so many politicians tell you what they are going to do if they get elected. Bruce ran for office and didn't win, but kept his promise. Let's elect him and see what he does when he gets elected. Folks, you need to have somebody like this in Multnomah County, because we all know Multnomah County needs all the help it can get. And Bruce is the kind of guy that can give it some help. We're going to take a quick break and come back with your questions. If you got a call, if you got a question for Bruce or for Chuck or for Carl, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll free, 877-733-1011. Kevin Stege, our resident CPA, isn't going to be on today because he's busy doing taxes, because this is the last weekend, folks. If you haven't done your taxes, you better get them in the mail tonight, because this is it. D-Day is coming. So we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. In studio with me, Carl Jepsen's on the line. So if you got a question, a legal question you want to call in, give a call. But we got Bruce Broussard, who's running for Multnomah County Commissioner, District Number 2. And I just want to read something to you folks, because a lot of our politicians talk about low-income housing, and they haven't got a clue what it means because they got so much money they don't know anyway. But let me just read this to you. Mr. Talbert, a 65-year-old widower who had never owned a home, was able to do so with Bruce's help through the Tri-County Neighborhood Housing Company owned by Bruce and his wife, Norma, that aided in home ownership. Folks, that's the kind of leadership we need to have in this county. You know, I mean, it is ridiculous that we have as many homeless people in Multnomah County that we have, and the politicians look the other way. They want to build them a tent city. That's not living, folks. Bruce, you and I spent some days out in tents.
That's right. That's right.
That's not living.
That's right.
Very much so. You know, and even though it was in the military, it wasn't any fun. And there was no reason in 2018, and you and I have discussed this for years, there is no reason we have the amount of homeless people in this country and in this county that we have. It is absolutely, you want to talk about deplorable? That's deplorable.
Very much so.
That is a disgrace for humanity.
Well, you know, and I might add before I get into my thing, is that I want to commend you and Carl for what you're doing, because I happen to be a senior citizen, and I can remember when my mom passed away and my father passed away, and, you know, I needed help, if you will. And all due respect, there's always this quabble with siblings and whatever. And so anyway, I ended up picking up control of her properties, if you will, and just dividing the property while she was still there, and she was able to sign off. You got me? But my point is that the services that you and Carl provide, those are the kinds of services seniors need to know. And we got baby boomers that are getting ready to get into the arena, if you will. We got a lot of baby boomers, folks. In all due respect, we're going to have a lot of more homeless if we don't do something now about that situation. And I might add that as a senior citizen sitting on that board, I'll be the only one on that board. I do plan on an ongoing basis to do another talk show, if you will, to inform and educate, if you will. And this is one area that I want to focus in big time, and hopefully I can get the kind of information that you guys are providing, if you will get that to those seniors. We need that big, big time, because those guys are going to need some support.
Absolutely. Bruce, you and I have talked about this for years, because I said when I finally retire, I'm going to start an organization called Senior Power.
Yes.
Because I believe seniors have not taken control of this country the way they could.
That's right.
10,000 seniors turn 65 every day. You have a life of experience. You need to share that with the other people. We need to share that with the young people. Young people today aren't taught a lot of things that we were taught in school. They need to be taught. They need to understand that when you live under evil dictators, it might sound great that everything's paid, but boy, there is a price to be paid, and the price is called freedom. Freedom. Freedom to spout off and say what you want. Freedom to protest whatever you want. You don't have to worry about going home and having the cops come beat down your door and haul your rear into jail. Freedom to say what you want. That's what we have in this country. But folks, I'm telling you, if we don't get a hold of it, we're not going to have it for long.
Well, you know, I might add, too, along that, like you said, in that particular line, thinking about this county and the reason why I ran, one of the other interesting reasons, a lot of folks don't realize that Multnomah County District Number 2 is the largest low-income folks in the county, okay? It's where poor folks live. All the issues that we're talking about, all the issues about homelessness and this, that, and the other, and crime and things of that nature, but there's no leadership. There's no leadership there. And that's one of the reasons why I want to sit on that council seat. And the other thing folks need to know, that the city of Portland and the county works together. So consequently, when they start talking about housing, in all due respect, hey, the county doesn't come up with, issuing permits. Okay? But you have to know what the heck's going on. I've been in the housing business. I've been in the building business aspect. I know how to dot the I's and cross the T. We got this young mayor, and all due respect, he's still in boot camp. I'll be right up front with you. I ran for mayor the last time around. There were 15 people. And as usual, in my particular stance, I filed to run for mayor. I ended up number four. But actually, I was up number three at the beginning of the race. But in all due respect, many of the liberals, in all due respect, they cut me off, i.e. OPB. They would not let me sit at the table because they knew there's no way in the world this young man could out-talk me. Plus, I'm a very knowledgeable person. I know the area. You know, as you know, he came from the Treasury Department. As you know, he was at the county at one time before. You would have think this Wapato thing would have been solved by now. He spent time at the county. He went down to the Treasury, and then he came back and run for mayor. But no background experience.
Well, speaking about Wapato, what is Wapato?
Well, Wapato, in all due respect, was built some 14 years or so ago, and they had no operating funds for it. And Bernie Gusto, you know Bernie Gusto. Yep. Bernie Gusto was the sheriff at that point in time, but he wasn't the sheriff when they actually put that bond and put that piece together. But it was supposed to have been a jail, okay? It was supposed to have been a jail.
But the taxpayers paid for this.
They paid for it. They just didn't put the monies for the... But it became political. It became political. So it just sat there. It said, because you got to realize, you got to follow the money. Let's say if they did had Wapato and actually put it into place at that point in time, now all of a sudden, when you think about our present situation now with the sheriff department, think about this. You hear every so often that, oh, gee whiz, we had to let some folks go because we're overcrowded. You know, the demonstration on the week, oh, we lost some weekends, so we're going to let these guys go. And then the following week, they're right back where they started. You have to pay for those services.
Yeah, and these are people that necessarily are not good guys.
That's right. They're not good guys. So the bottom line is that we needed Wapato. So Wapato, here's the day we've accumulated. We probably invested some fixes about, I think, about 38 or 50 million bucks or so to build it initially. And then now we've already got over $100 million in that facility. $100 million that facility. And there's a big squabble right now. The county all of a sudden sold the thing for $5 million the other day to a developer.
You got $100 million in it, and they sold it for $5
million? Sold it for $5 million, folks. I mean, I want to know why
government officials' pension plans aren't going to pay back the citizens for the money they just ripped us off.
Hey, it's other people's money. See, that's the other thing you got to realize. See, again, in all due respect, I'm not a politician. You know, I'm a businessman. You know what I'm saying? I can read a spreadsheet. I know what's going on. I mean, right up front with you, they don't have that kind of leadership sitting on our council today. And in many cases, and you know, the city council has been around for quite some time. But my point is that that's a $2 billion budget operation. The county, almost $2 billion. Remember now, not
that's with a B, folks. Billion.
That's a B, $1 billion. Whoa. And you've got these inexperienced folks that are sitting up there managing those funds. Now, fortunately, they've got managers for each of the various responsibility aspect of it. But when you start thinking about the monies, how can they oversee that kind of a situation? And look at their background. I've always maintained, right up front with you, when you're looking at a quote politician to run decide who you're going to vote for, ask them to look at their resume. Check the resume, folks. Don't just take it for granted. The beautiful folks is this, that, and the other. How they look, etc. Check their resume. If they don't, it's like anything else. When you're applying for a job, what normally happens? They give you the job description and they ask you for your resume. Why can't you do the same thing in the election process?
You know, Bruce, you know, it's the same thing I've been saying on the show about investment advisors. I tell everybody, I say on the show all the time, if you're going to do business with a financial advisor,
yes,
the first thing I would do is go to BrokerCheck. Look at their history. I mean, there are some people in this community that their BrokerCheck looks like they ought to be on the most wanted list.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still doing business. I don't know how, but they are. And so you, as a consumer, it is your obligation. If you're going to hand over your life savings to somebody, you better ask for their broker check, and you better look at their history of what they've done in the industry that they're talking to you about. And it's just like you said, if you're going to look at somebody, look at their resume.
Look at that resume.
Yeah, and I can tell you, somebody who's been in politics in their whole life, and that's all they've ever done, you got a problem, because they don't really know the real world.
Mm-hmm.
The real world is different than being a politician.
You know, I might add, too, along that same line, think about this now. You asked me about Wapato just for a moment. Let me just give you the flow of what happened initially. This guy, all due respect, the county, okay, the county comes up and says, okay, it's for sale. It's for sale. And so someone comes in and says, okay, fine, I'll give you it's a $58 million jail, okay? It was appraised for about 8-point-something million or so, whatever. But that's how much we put into it. But the bottom line is that it's for sale. The guy offers $10.8 million, right? Okay, and people were just excited. We're going to get $10.8 million. At the end of the day, he was supposed to come up with another $200,000. Normally, when you're buying something and you want to stop something, stop a process, you know, it's called earnest money, don't you think? It's right? And then the idea is that if you don't follow through, your earnest money is gone. Well, in this particular case, the guy comes up with he says, I'm going to give you $10.8 million. So people are excited. No money. No money. Not even the $200,000. No money. So all of a sudden he comes back after a certain period of time and says, oh, I checked it out and I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether or not I can do the job for it. I can't just do this thing and develop it for $10.8 million. I tell you what I'll do. Give me some more time to check it out some more. Well, now, what about these other folks who are offering monies beforehand? Okay, so they're given the time, didn't ask for any more money, didn't ask for more.
No other bids.
No. My point is that, as far as I'm concerned, that first $200,000 was gone. I would have said, give me my money.
Yeah.
Now, if I want to, I'll negotiate. I'd say, okay, I'll negotiate with you. You want more time? It costs you $500,000. Or maybe another million, if you will. Okay, well, put it down. Okay, so take the risk, right? That's private
That's
enterprise.
Right. Yep.
Okay, he didn't do anything. They went on and approved it. Gave him some extra time, more time. So all of a sudden, I'm saying, where is the money? Show me the money. He hasn't spent a dime. He hasn't spent a dime, folks. And then all of a sudden, he comes back again. He says, hey, he says, tell you what, I looked at it again. really, it's not really worth the 10.8 that I offer you. I'm going to offer you $5 million. I'm going to offer you $5 million. So it comes back with the $5 million. And people say, what? Wait a minute. The thing is, at least appraised at about $8 million, or maybe $9 million. But we got $58 million that was built initially. We got $100 million or so in the Theron deal. So he comes back and says, $5 million. So they voted the other day. And here was another developer. You know Homer Williams. Homer's been around here as a developer, if you will. And he put together this organization. He and Don Maserati, who was formerly a PDC and whatever, of Harbor of Hope. I mean, dealing in the business of homelessness. Put together a private government package kind of a piece that would really take these people off the street. And he offers at that point in time, he offers $8 million. Almost about $8 million or so along that line. Well, actually $7 million. But it was definitely more than five. But he had a deal, a plan to basically take off the stress. Let's say 50% of the stress would have been taken off had they given the job to Homer. Because all of a sudden, he's making the say, folks, I'm going to take these folks off the streets. We're going to vet these folks.
And that would help everybody.
That would have helped everybody.
Absolutely.
This guy's here saying, oh, $5 million. What did they do? They voted and gave him, basically sold it to him for $5 million. That is ridiculous, folks. That is ridiculous, folks. I mean, we could, in all due respect, the county could have kept it, if you will. It will cost about $1 million to rehab it. There's about 500 beds in the darn deal. And then if you needed more space, if you will, it's a 20-acre parcel, as far as I'm concerned, it's 20-acre parcel. Call it the governor. Have the National Guards come out, put some goddamn tents, and put them all in there. But vet them. Find out who's on the street. We don't even know who's on the on the street. I'm sorry. I mean, it just really irritates you to hear about this piece. I mean, they don't have any business back. One of the commissioners, just to show you how crazy it was, this was this past Thursday, she's sitting up there, they're going back and forth, you know, the little cat fight and whatever, and this one commissioner said, it's $5 million, but the bottom line is that if you tore the building down, the property would be worth more than $5 million. Now, she was a commissioner making that statement and at the same time voting for the $5 million sale. Give me a break, folks.
Oh.
And if you don't understand it, Google it. Google it at the Tribune. You can Google it at the Tribune. You can Google it at the Oregonian. Get the full story, folks. I'm looking at, here I am, I'm running right now at this point in time, and I'm thinking about, well, wait a minute. And this is Deborah Cafori, who's the chair, has no background whatsoever. They're dealing with poor folks aspects of it.
Lifetime politicians.
Just lifetime politicians. Yeah. And that's the problem we're having in our country today. Remember now, I mean, even our presidential election, we were all upset about everything. We said, we got to clean the swamp. We got to get these politicians out. And here we are today. We get a person in office, and guess what? We've forgotten what we said initially. The guy's cleaning the swamp. He's cleaning the swamp.
I've always been a proponent of term limits. I've always thought we let politicians stay in office way too long.
Yes.
Power corrupts. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Speaking about corrupting, we're going to corrupt one more time and take a quick break for an ad here. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified. If you want to join in the conversation, you know, we'd like to have you call in and ask a question. And Bruce is wide open for questions.
Yes.
503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. Changing America, one day at a time. We'll be right back.
We do Investing Simplified. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and this is your opportunity if you want to pick up the phone and give us a call. We got about 8 minutes left of the show. But I'm going to get right to Bruce Bussard, who's running for County Commissioner, District Number 2, and also has No Veteran Left Behind Oregon, which I think is a tremendous organization. And I think any of you vets out there, if you want to get a hold of Bruce, Bruce, you got some information how they can get a hold of you?
Oh, yes. Anybody, I'll just give him my number right up
okay,
front. Just give me a number.
503-701-0457. And Bruce is the executive director, administrator, and I'll tell you what, he actually answers the phone.
That's right, exactly.
So give him a call, 503-701-0457. If you're a vet, you don't want to be left behind. Get a hold of Bruce. And speaking about that, if you're a vet, you might want to vote for somebody who has your interests at heart, and that's Bruce Bussard for County Commissioner of Multnomah County, District Number 2. I'll tell you, Bruce, looking at your resume, it's just amazing all the things you've been involved in. Martin Luther King School Scholarship Fund, Governor's Small Business Task Force, Metro Solid Waste Advisory Board, City of Portland Solid Waste. I mean, I could go on, folks, but we haven't got that much time. Bruce is like a who's who of Multnomah County and Portland, what he's done for this community. And when I first met Bruce, he was a recruiter with the Marine Corps, but he also, if I remember right, I think, didn't you, you ran the, what was it?
Which one was that?
What was the fundraising thing you were doing?
United Way. Oh, yeah,
And he blew all the numbers away
that's
previous
right. That's right.
That had ever been raised.
Right.
It was unbelievable what he did. And I know the organization I was with at the time, we all supported him, and Bruce was a dynamic guy who came along and really wanted, you could tell this guy wanted to give back to the community. Even though he had already given 14 years as a Marine, he still wanted to give more. And that's the kind of person we need to have in politics. We need people like Bruce who are not looking for a job.
Right.
They're looking to solve problems.
Yes.
Big difference.
Yes, yes.
Many of these politicians today, the only thing they care about is how much net worth they have. And I tell you, we have one particular senator in this state that's all he, you know, his net worth is off the chart compared to his financial knowledge, I can tell you that. So anyway, I won't go there. I'll digress. Bruce, let's talk about how can people help support your campaign for county commissioner?
Well, in all due respect, like I said, check out the resume of these individuals that are running. In all due respect, there's three other candidates there. And actually, in all due respect, they're all women. I'm just being upfront about it. I'm married to a person. But the bottom line is that check their resume. Just check their resume. Don't get me wrong. They do offer something at the table. But our need that we have today is that we need good, strong leadership aspect of it. A good example of that was just like Chuck made the point about United Way when I was at United Way. I got that background. And as you know, you can designate your funds. And that's, for instance, when I'm in the county, I'm not talking about asking taxpayers for more money to provide a program, if you will. For instance, as far as the homeless is concerned, why can't we come up with a program? I know United Way. I'll just go up to them. Let's say, let's put together a package for, let's adopt a homeless person for a change. Adopt a homeless person. So that puts in the coffers, if you will, so we can put those dollars to offset some of those costs. Because a lot of times you got the overhead. Let's say if Homer Williams had he gotten Wapato. I think it's not over with yet, folks. We're not going to just let that sale just die just that way. Trust me, there's no way in the world we're going to allow that property to go for $5 million.
Now, you were saying that Homer's group was wanting to take this and we're going to put homeless people in there?
Yes. Yes, and this is temporary housing.
Oh,
this is
folks,
not a jail.
You got to wake up.
Call this Homer Williams up. I mean, call the program. Marziada is there, if you will. It's called Harbor of Hope. Harbor of Hope. Just hit, you know,
Harbor
just
of Hope.
Harbor of Hope. Check him out and tell him you want to support that piece. And I'm going to give him a call and see what we can do. Maybe we can talk him. I hate to put the word out there, folks. Recall, but gee whiz, we'd have a real problem. They'd be all off. But I can handle that. I can handle the whole county by myself as far as I'm concerned.
You know, look,
it's ridiculous.
If you drive around Portland at all,
it's awesome.
You see homeless people all over the place. If you drive around, this is an area that we have just totally put our head in the sand. We keep throwing money at it and nothing getting done.
Yes, yes.
And here's a plan to actually help get some of these people off the street and get them out of a tent.
Exactly.
You know, it drives me crazy when I hear the politicians say, we're going to set up a tent city.
Right. Exactly.
What the heck is that?
That's ridiculous. And it's inhumane. It's
inhumane.
It's totally inhumane. Think about it. You don't see any dogs and cats and stuff like that straying all over the street, right? They get picked up.
That's right.
And they get taken to the Humane Society. They get vetted out to make sure they get their shots.
Well, they get treated better than people.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So basically, why can't we look at that same situation? They need to get picked up, folks. Let's pick them all up, take them down to Wapato. Okay? Let them go through the same processing that the county, because the county is the jailer. When the Portland police picks them up, they take them down to the county, they vet them out, right? Give them a bath, get them clothes, et cetera, feed them, check them out, whatever. And then the following 2 days, they visit the judge. Then the judge says, okay, fine, if you've done any criminal this, that, and the other, you go down to OSP, the penitentiary. Or if not that, you go to the jail here because it's short time, right? You got me?
Yep.
So the same thing would happen with these folks. There's a lot of folks down there that are homeless that are felons. But we got this law within our deal called Sanctuary City. Remember that, folks? You can't touch them. Sanctuary City. They're not just brown. They're all over the place. Understand where I'm coming from. But my point is, under my plan, what I would do is that put Wapato, work with a guy like Homer, if you will, and then come up with a deal where you said, okay, fine, after these folks have been gone through the process, keep the county involved in the process. They need those extra beds, too. But after about 2 days, guess what? You put that orange uniform on them, and they're on the clean detail. They're out there cleaning all that mess. They're cleaning. Okay, if you want to say, let's give them a little minimum wage, okay, let's say if it's $15, but $10 goes back in restitution, room and board. And the other $5 goes into the check, okay? But the bottom line is that to me, is a better, more sane process, if
you will.
Well,
and you build some pride in them of doing something.
Yes, yes.
Of being self-worth.
And deterrent. Because they'll be cleaning that stuff during the day. People are going to be seeing who's cleaning, seeing them. It's a deterrent. You know, in essence, I don't want to get out there and do that anymore. You got my point? It's a deterrent piece. So the name of the get them to work. Get them into training. You got United Way. What's our big handout clothing and stuff like that? Goodwill.
Yeah.
They got a good training program aspect of it. Get them involved in the process.
You got the Salvation Army.
We got some creative ways. Yeah. And in all due respect, you know, a lot of folks are saying, well, gee whiz, why don't we build more facilities downtown? Wait a minute. You know, if you're going to build a facility downtown and you're going to say you're going to basically relocate a person from downtown, they should have some money when they get out that door because you got to spend money. You just don't get out there and just start asking monies and this, that. So it's a tough situation. I get a little short at this point in time.
You know, one of the problems Portland has right now is for business owners that are downtown.
Yes.
With homeless people urinating on the street.
Yes. But see, Homer's gotten together with these people. Everybody's ready to go. He's got the package deal. Wake up, folks. Wake up. Smell the coffee.
Well, listen, here's the thing. If you pay taxes, your tax money is going for waste.
Yes, sir.
This is crazy. You know, it's one thing if you have enough money that you could flush your money down the toilet, but most people don't. So you know what? You may spend time doing your taxes. You got to have them in by this weekend. But listen, when you send that check in or when you send those forms in, start thinking about my local money. Where's my local money really spent?
Exactly.
And then think about Bruce Bussard because he's a guy that's going to make dang sure your money is spent wisely, and doing the right thing and actually really helping people.
Exactly.
Not talking about it, doing it.
It's your money, folks.
Yep, it's your money. Listen, thanks for listening to Investing Simplified. We'll be back next Saturday. Probably have Harry Dent or Rodney Johnson on. We're going to talk about economics. So next Saturday will be an economic show. We'll have Kevin back, maybe Carl back. Carl will be on as well. Carl, thanks for hanging in there with us. Have a great weekend, everybody, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Chuck.
God bless America. And thanks, Bruce, for being here.
We do Investing Simplified. Price Financial Group.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.